For Reasons Wretched and Divine, written by Supine to the Stars and read by Fens and Marshes. The story goes like this. Technoblade became a warrior young. He was never a child, never a whimpering toddler with child-sized hands and drooping, velvet-soft, pig-like ears. He never cried or learned to walk on shaky legs or stared at the world with wide-stretched, awe-filled eyes. These were things reserved for children, and to be a child was a luxury Techno was never afforded. The people who remember him from his Fight Club glory days will say that Technoblade has always carried that copper smell of blood about him. He came into fame with an axe clasped in one hand, wearing armor already nicked and scraped by combat damage. His presence took the fighting rings by storm, and his combat was fueled by bloodlust and greed for championship titles. He hacked apart enemy fighters with so little hesitation that the supervisors at each match had to drag away half his dying opponents, prying them out of his grasp like a deer ripped from the jaws of a mountain lion. They weren't always quick enough, but the deaths, at least, weren't slow. This is the story of Technoblade that comes to be told. He lets it live, and he lets it be. Every living legend is given a creation myth, a pillar on which the people will place their sculpted marble image, and even if the people wish to build him up just to tear him down, he knows there are worse fates for people like him than to live one's life obscured by their own shadow. In reality, Techno had been only 16 when he'd escaped the dueling clubs. He can't remember much before that, can't remember how old he'd been when he'd been brought in to fight. He knows he'd been dragged along as a means of paying off old debts. He remembers only little details, like that even the smallest armor they'd been able to give him had sat too large on his frame, had been all bulky and oversized. For months, it had made his movements clunky and clashed around painfully as he'd tried to fight. But the chainmail chest plates had come to fit him eventually. He had learned to fit them. There hadn't been a smooth road out. Techno remembers those first few weeks of freedom like a blurry, abstracted haze of activity, of new sights and old worries and a bewildering sense of weightlessness around his shoulders, even under the armor he buckled on every sunrise. Something about hearing the birdsong every morning. Something about how the light looked through the trees. Something about eating food that wasn't dried or salted. Something about Filza, really. Most aspects of those hurried first few weeks are remembered vaguely, through a kind of hazy fog, blurred around the edges. Filza isn't. Techno remembers Filza's face in the first few moments of their meeting as clearly as anything, can see the shadows of the corridor torchlight under Filza's boots and the way his shoulders slumped under the weight of a travelling bag. There'd been that trench coat, too, suspiciously big and bulky. Techno guessed that it was hiding something. For once, he was correct. He remembers Filza's eyes the clearest because, bizarrely, they'd met his own, unflinching and unfrightened. Technoblade had a reputation, he'd been informed. Technoblade had an aura. Technoblade smelled of blood and rotten things in the dank air of underground fight club tunnels. He'd been fighting as long as he could remember, though that wasn't saying much, as his memory fizzled into spaced-out distortions and discordant halfway seams if he thought back more than a few years. And he'd been told he was a frightening thing to behold. Most people didn't dare to meet his eyes. The ones who did were never kind. Filza met his eyes and held his gaze and looked him square in the face, dead on, and, most bizarrely of all, he did it with this semi-awkward half-smile, a look of cautious politeness, as if they were just two strange men exchanging pleasantries in a hallway. As if Techno wasn't walking back to the armory from a match, sword still wet with blood. As if the boar skull mask wasn't digging hard bone edges into his cheekbones, casting sour shadows across the stone walls of the hallway. As if Filza wasn't, by the look of it, heading down that hallway as a potential champion, a potential enemy, a potential victim. There'd been an awkward beat, and Techno had tilted his head just slightly, dropping his hand from his sword to his side. Filza hadn't tracked the motion. He'd been armed himself, but his hands were crossed casually across his chest as that awkward smile hung on his face. You looking for something? Techno had asked. Yeah, Filza admitted, chuckling as if in humorous confession. You happen to know where I could find the armory, mate? Heading there myself, actually, Techno droned, and the next thing he'd known, he'd been in the armory, awkwardly attempting to fend off casual conversation with an unsettlingly calm man who was occupying himself by shining an unsettlingly battered diamond sword. Filza explained that his name was Filza. Filza explained that he'd been travelling for some time, and only recently came upon this town and its inhabitants. Techno said he wasn't surprised. Filza asked why, and received no answer. Filza explained that he wasn't too fond of fight clubs, not in the least ones of this sort. Techno had grunted his response. Then why the hell are you in a place like this? Dad's caught up with me, Filza had said. Old and new. I've been rather forcefully informed that this is the only viable way to pay them off. The story fit, so Techno let it be. Weeks passed, and Filza came to be a familiar sight in the halls and in the armory and in the pit. He fought exactly twice and won exactly twice. His combat was brutal in a way that was surprising but not unknown. There was a familiar bluntness about it, in the split-second instincts of a man who'd learned through survival. An adventurer, Filza had called himself, and Techno saw it in the force behind each axe swing. That was the difference between a man who'd learned in the wilderness and a man who'd learned in the pit. The latter knew what to expect from his enemies. Always human, always armoured, always clumsy with the anxiety of combat, and measured out his force appropriately, gracefully. The former never knew. The former met blows with blunt force instinct and an expectation of deadly violence. Wild things weren't predictable combat partners, but Filza, who had learned to become their antithesis, was. He fought well, better than most, nearly all. Filza crept up the rankings in the short time he spent in the pit, scratching his way into the edges of the leaderboards. Every point he won drew them nearer to the day he'd be in the pit opposite Techno, a day that Techno anticipated with a kind of feverish, muted anxiety. Techno wasn't worried that he would lose. He was afraid of what would happen when he won. He liked Filza, even then, against his better instincts. Liked the casual conversation, often one-sided, Techno wasn't skilled at carrying a discussion, but never forced. Liked the way that Filza always met his eyes, and never shrunk away from the shadows they were cast into by the boar skull mask. Enjoyed the consistency of Filza's company in the armory. Like a fool, he'd gone and gotten himself attached to the man, to a stranger in a suspiciously large trench coat and a low green hat. Well, Filza's loss. I expect I'll be out of town fairly soon, Filza commented once, as a silent Techno slotted an arrow into his crossbow and pulled the string tight. He sounded almost hopeful. Once I've gone up in the pit a few more times, they can't exactly keep holding me here, can they? That's all we paid, fair and proper. Techno's arrow slipped from his fingers right as he set it loose and buried itself thoroughly to the left of the target. He ignored it in favour of glancing at where Filza sat at a bench to his left. That's not really how things work around here, he grunted. There was a beat of silence, and then that earned him a sigh and a tightly frustrated smile. Thought you'd say that. Techno frowned and glanced back towards the crossbow target. His unasked question still went unanswered. I just don't look forward to finding my way out of here the hard way, Filza commented. The hard way, he'd said, and Techno had assumed he'd meant through trial combat in the dueling pit. Techno, as he often was in regards to Filza, was incorrect. Filza asked a few times why Techno stayed to fight, why he'd spent so many years in a place that rank and dark. They took me in when I was a kid, Techno had explained. I fought to pay off debts, like you. It's been years from the sound of it. Why the hell do you stay, mate? I don't know where else to go, Techno didn't say. I don't know if I could live anywhere else. I don't know if anywhere else could live with me. Instead, he notched his crossbow again and fired another shot. Filza never got his answer. Here was the difference, Techno knew, between himself and Filza. Filza had never heard the voices, never dreamt of chanting, muffled mumbling, rabid snarls and screeched out threats. He hadn't heard the voices that lurked in Techno's dreamscape and crept into his consciousness as he slept, emerging from the shadows of his bedroom corners and slipping through his dreams. The voices that snarled at him to feed them, appease them, create them, accept them. "We are the blood god," the voices always chanted.
Let us in.
Every time he woke, they receded into the background, trapped beneath his waking consciousness. Every time he slept, they returned, pleaded, begged, threatened, insulted.
Accept us,
they entreated him. Let us in. Let us help you. Often in Techno's dreams, he stood in the dueling pit of the fight club, red smeared across his hands and blood dripping from his axe, and he met faceless figure after faceless figure in a deadly embrace. Everything went too quickly, was too blurred, too abstract for him to fight his way to victory. Again and again, he felt the sting of swords and axes and arrow points slipping past his guard, slicing between the cracks in his armor. Enemy after faceless enemy poured through the gates of the pit, and each one lunged, weapons extended, with wordless snarls and shrieks and screams. The bodies would pile higher and higher as the dream went on, until Techno's boots were slipping on the blood, and his arms were weary, and his breath came in frantic pants, and he dodged and weaved and was still cut to the bone time and time again, never fast enough, never smart enough, never strong enough. "Let us in," the voices urged him. "The blood god is powerful. The blood god will help you. The blood god will end all of this." There were days when Techno longed to accept. Anything for a minute of sleeping silence, the world for a dreamless night. His nose was always clogged with the scent of blood when he woke, limbs aching with phantom cuts, screams tangled in his ears and snarls caught in his throat. He never accepted. He never let the voices in. He knew better than to make deals with godly things, no less ones who fed themselves on dead things and violence and the act of killing. He knew better than to embrace a thing that crowded itself into his sleeping head and filled his dreams with chanted snarls, half incomprehensible, half foul. There were nights when the blood god tried to bargain. "Let us in and you'll never feel pain," it purred, as day after day he went to bed riddled with combat injuries, struggled to sleep through the aching weariness and the stinging of poorly bandaged wounds, wishing for nothing more than a day of peace, a day of rest, a day without challenge. "You'll never be afraid again. With the blood god behind you, no mortal could ever hope to face you. You would be unstoppable. Would you like to be unstoppable, Blade? Would you like to feel powerful?" "I am powerful," Technoblade had countered once, thinking of the way so many fighters had crumpled beneath the hilt of his axe or been sent sprawling under his fist. He was the dueling pit's reigning champion, 16 and the most skilled in a fighting ring frequented by adults, veterans, hardened warriors. They called him the Blade, like a blunt force weapon in mortal form, a thing to behold, a terrible sight. The blood god had laughed and laughed and laughed. It was a horrific, ear-splitting noise, made all of dissonance and breaking glass and something poisonous. "Darling dearest," it had purred. "That's not power. That's just monstrosity." At that point in the dream, a scourge of faceless enemies had broken through the walls of the pit, and everything had abstracted itself beneath the haze of flashing metal and the slippery red liquid spreading across the floor. And at that point in the dream, Techno's gate had slipped upon hearing that very last word, monstrosity. And in his lapse of attention, he'd been flung back against the stone brick walls, and a blade had been pressed to his throat, and just like that, the rumbling of broken glass laughter had vanished and taken everything else with it. He'd woken up screaming that night. No one had heard. "Are you a religious man, Filza?" Techno asked one morning, as he stood in the armory and examined an arrow quiver. Filza, hunched on a bench with a bucket of grimy water, absently scrubbed a bloodstain out of a battered iron chest plate. Filza had glanced over at him and blinked, tilted his head, considered the answer. "Not particularly," Filza said. "I mean, I have no patron deities, if that's what you're asking. I've met many who do, but I never took it up myself. Busy man and all that." "Never took it up myself," he'd said, as if it was some kind of hobby one obtains at a dollar market. Techno resisted the urge to scoff. He could feel Filza's eyes on him, and determinedly did not meet them. Instead, he squinted at an arrow fletching and focused on smoothing it out. "The people who did," he grunted, and paused to think before continuing. How did that work? "Don't reckon I'm the best person to ask, mate. I don't know shit about that sort of thing. But, you know, mostly just a matter of prayer and tradition, innit? Calling upon a higher force for aid." "Prayer and tradition," Techno repeats, and the words sound unfamiliar on his tongue. So different from the haunting, screeching thing that spoke to him in nightmares. The blood god was more a desperate animal than a deity with an altar to prey upon. Filza, humming an affirmation, returned to scrubbing at his armour. The longer Filza stayed at the dueling club, the more Techno wanted him gone. Every fight the man had had, he'd won. Each match climbed him higher up the leaderboards, nearer to Techno's name, nearer to the day they'd meet in combat. Techno wanted him gone. Techno told Filza as much once, when it became clear that in a short few rounds they'd be called upon to fight each other. "You should run," he grunted. "Your debts will never be paid anyway. That's not how this place works. The better you are, the harder they try to keep you here. Just get out while you can." "Scared of losing against me in a fight, mate?" Filza had asked, seemingly amused. "It's all in good sport, man. You know that. I wouldn't beat you down too badly once I've won." Techno didn't respond. "Are you scared of losing?" the blood god asked him that night, as he knelt in an abstracted, flickering field of grass. His dreamscape was unusually peaceful for once. There was no fighting pit to be found, no smell of blood or enemies to fight, just the sky above him and an empty, flat horizon. Techno had scoffed. "No." "But you are afraid." He turned the axe over in his hands, studying its smoothness against the roughened skin of his palms. "Not of losing." There had been a quiet rumble, as if of understanding. "You are frightened of what will happen when you win. Even a monster can comprehend his own brutality." Techno ignored the voices in favour of running a finger along the sharpened edge of the dreamscape axe, testing its deadliness, a featherlight touch against the blade. The voices were acting strange today, unusually calm, unusually united. They spoke nearly as a singular voice instead of the usual cacophony. "Let us tell you a secret," the voices murmured. "The man you are afraid will learn to fear you, the angel one with the faded coal wings." "I have no idea what you're talking about," Techno responded. Filza had no wings, only an oddly bulky trench coat and a fondness for the open air. The voices ignored him. "He is deadlier than you know. A monster slayer, they call him. A slaughterer of beasts." Techno turned the axe on its side and caught a glimpse of something in the smooth metal panel of the blade, his own reflection caught in frigid steel. "And what are you, Technoblade? If not a beast?" Even through the marred distortions wrought by the curve of the axe, Techno could see in the image that his eyes were coal-black voids and the boar skull mask he wore during fights was plastered to his face, gaunt and skeletal, digging into his cheekbones. his own tusks connected with the bleached bone of the mask, linking his face with the animal skull. Techno froze in a wave of cold shock, then dropped the axe into the dreamscape grass and stumbled to his face. How cruel that the monster should come to love a man who can only slaughter it, the voice was whispered. They were growing louder now, more insistent. How terrible that is. How horrific a fate. If only you would let yourself be saved. Techno lifted his hands, shaking and unsteady, to the sides of his face. His claws scraped against bone and flesh, and as he notched his fingers under the cheekbones of the mask, struggling to lift it away from his skin, it wouldn't move, the bone staying firmly affixed to his skin. The voices began to chant at him again, growing aggressive and insistent. We can help you, Technoblade. We can slaughter the beast killer. We can save you from a fate worse than death. I'm not an animal, Techno heard himself say, but the mask wouldn't come free from his face, and all at once he realized the two were one and the same, and his tusks were suddenly red with blood, and the velvet softness of his pointed ears felt hideously wrong, and he knew he wasn't all human, never had been, but there was blood beginning to bubble up from the dirt around him amid the gentle grass of the meadow. Everything became distorted and wrong, and there was bile rising in his throat. When he woke, he was in his bed, sitting bolt upright before he was aware he'd left his dream. His clawed fingers were clasped against the side of his face, scratching divots into his skin. He touched a fingertip to one tusk, and it came away bloodless and clean, without a single trace of red. But even with this confirmation, Techno still couldn't find it in himself to breathe. The boar skull mask sat on his bedside table. His hollow eyes stared at him, condemning in their emptiness. Thank you for listening.